If it looks like a recession and tastes like a recession, it must be a recession. I'm David Brancaccio. How we feel is now certified by the experts. The National Bureau of Economic Research says the U.S. is in a recession. The peak, February, the 11-year-long expansion, gone. Here's Marketplace's Justin Ho.
In the past, the NBER has watched an economic decline for much longer before officially declaring a recession. But economist Teresa Ghilarducci at the New School says this is no ordinary contraction.
It would have been a bit ridiculous to wait to tell the world what we already knew and felt.
The NBER says the magnitude of production and employment declines warranted the official designation. Ghilarducci says what's different this time is how quickly we went from full employment to double-digit rates of unemployment.
It took 2 years in the 1930s to get to the kinds of rates that we're seeing now.
In previous recessions, economist Peter Urazim at Iowa State University says unemployed people jumped to other jobs in less affected industries. But this has been a nearly universal shutdown.
And that's going to make it much more difficult for people to shift from one job to another as a way of surviving the economic consequences of the pandemic.
Urazim says that could make it even harder to recover. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
All right, so of academic interest, we are in a recession, as if 21 million unemployed people did not spell that already. Of more practical use, when's it end? There's news from the National Federation of Independent Business that owners of smaller enterprises are more optimistic than they were a month earlier. This covers May, when some virus restrictions were eased. Optimism is up, but so is uncertainty. Can we say there's a little bounce? Let's check in with economist David Kelly, the chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds.
It's a little bit like falling off a cliff onto a trampoline. The bounce is nice, but the fall is rather more important. We're still in deep trouble here, and I know the Federal Reserve is meeting this week, but we still need a lot of help to sustain this economy until we actually have a vaccine and we can really begin to accelerate.
So the Federal Reserve is meeting starting today. I mean, they can't lower interest rates much further. You think they'll ever take a page from our European friends and go negative with interest rates?
I hope not, and I think not. The current monetary policy is by far the most stimulative monetary policy we've ever had from the Federal Reserve. And the reason is the federal government is spending huge amounts of money and borrowing it all, and the Federal Reserve is buying those bonds. And that's tremendously stimulative. So, you know, there's no point in playing around with bows and arrows of negative interest rates if you're actually using the bazooka of monetizing the federal debt. And that's really what the Federal Reserve is doing.
So what could they do today, you think? Is there anything open to them that they're not doing already?
Well, I think they should reassure everybody that they will continue to support the economy. I think they need to be empathetic to the problems that many people, particularly low-income workers and those laid off, are suffering. And I think they need to express optimism that we will get through this and we will get past this.
That is David Kelly. He's the chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Always good to talk to you, sir.
Glad to do it.
And despite the year we're having, the NASDAQ is now up 10% year so far after reaching a record high yesterday. Today, a down vibe, possibly people locking in the gains, with the Dow down 356 points, 1.3% at the moment. The S&P is down 1%. The NASDAQ composite is down 0.2%. Now to a story about social justice, culture, big business, and how the National Football League is learning that now is not 2016. That year, NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick kneeled during the national anthem to call attention to police brutality and racial inequality. After that season, Kaepernick ended up unsigned by any pro team. But amid social justice protests now around the country, the NFL's position is shifting. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
5 days after the killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell weighed in for the first time, saying, quote, "The protesters' reaction to these incidents reflect the pain, anger, and frustration that so many of us feel." Some players and NFL critics called that statement disingenuous. Kavitha Davidson is a sports writer and podcast host for The Athletic.
there was kind of no right move for Roger Goodell to make in this situation. But frankly, he put himself in that place and the NFL put itself in that place.
Goodell was in a box because Colin Kaepernick. In 2016, Kaepernick was the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. He began kneeling during the national anthem to protest police brutality against black people. His team cut him loose at the end of the season.
Clearly, Colin Kaepernick paid the ultimate price in terms of his career.
That's Charles K. Ross. He teaches African American studies at the University of Mississippi. Ultimately, team owners saw Kaepernick as too risky given the controversy he generated, and they're the ones writing the checks. Ross says that power dynamic in the NFL remains.
When you feel like, you know, you can kind of push your labor force around, you still have control, why do you have to worry about the public? You do what you want to do.
What the league and its teams feel compelled to do right now is show support for the fight against police brutality. Richard Lapchick, director of the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport at the University of Central Florida, says after 2016, the NFL started social justice educational programs.
So when I heard Roger Goodell say this, I didn't feel critical of it all. I thought it was part of what they had been doing.
In the aftermath of George Floyd's death, the NFL seems more cognizant of the need to protect its revenue and change its image. In recent days, a group of prominent players turned up the pressure for Goodell and the league to say more, and he did, more strongly condemning racism.
We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest.
In appeasing those players, Kavitha Davidson at The Athletic says Goodell is walking a fine line.
The fear is always turning off those dollars, turning off the people who you view as being the most financially valuable to your fan base.
Goodell is getting some praise for doing more now, but in his recent statement, he didn't mention Colin Kaepernick by name. And the 32-year-old quarterback who started in a Super Bowl is still out of a job. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.